What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 1055 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV, covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Show you see him on the back on the screen, Lavelle Sanders of Binghamton, the Bearcats out of the America East, fifth year there, man. Lavelle, good talk to you, brother. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good, happy to be back on the show. Kind of feel like we do this every year, you know, our traditional preseason, preseason breakdown. So, yeah, I appreciate you having me on.
No, bro, I can't believe it's your fifth year, bro. It's flying by. How's it been for you, man?
Yeah, it's, I mean. Somebody was asking me that the other day. I don't even, you know, you don't even think about it like that, right? It comes, the seasons come and go so quick. You know, you're so immersed in trying to figure out what you're trying to do, you know, trying to get the team ready, preparing, you know, all year recruiting. So you don't ever really get a chance to feel, you know, or kind of look back and say, man, that season went by, or this season went by. I kind of feel like they all run together, you know?
No doubt, man. It's definitely a blur, man. And for you, let me ask you this, man. Being at the American East level, how is your chance of trying to build a roster with the portal, the NIL guys wanting money to play and, you know, having to decide collectives and rev shares? So how's it been for you trying to build a roster with all this going on around you outside of basketball?
I mean, it is what it is. It's hectic. You know, you can't complain. You know, you definitely can't complain. You have to figure out ways that you can make your program appealing to recruits and student athletes, right? And not everybody, you know, we didn't opt in, right? We didn't opt in, so we're not a part of the revenue sharing. But, you know, my ED always say, you know, like, what revenue are you sharing? You know, like, we're not a... You know, we're not a Power Four, Power Five school where we have tons of money. So again, you just have to figure out ways, you know, to make your program appealing. Figure out how you can get student athletes, and you know, again, it always been at our level. You're not going to get the best players anyway, right? So you gotta develop, but you also have to get, you know, get guys that can help, you know, and guys that have some talent. So it's just work. It's the work, it's the grind, it's what we do. Again, I don't really feel, you know, it's any different, you know, in terms of how you go about and how you get a player. You know, if you had money, then it would be a lot easier. But, you know, the school and the situation we're in, you know, we're a big time academic school. So that's always been a hurdle for us anyway. And so, you know, we try to be creative. You know, we reach out to our the networks, the people that we know, people that we trust. And then that's how we've been doing this thing here.
No doubt. And would you say with these new changes, it's allowing you to get better freshmen you would never get in the past, give you opportunity that they can be overlooked because the last teams, the Power Four, Group Five want to be old and stay old. So you're getting ready to get good young players where they're overlooking when they want to be old and stay old and try to win now, per se.
You know what? I don't know if that's really been the case. I do think like the freshmen that we have taken, we always try to take guys that we feel can play. I think we got two really good ones this season, and I don't think it was a matter of, some school didn't want them, or whatever the case. I just think that we found student athletes that were our type of student athletes that fit our program, that fit how we like to play. And so I haven't really felt that because, top programs want to stay old or they want to take guys out of the portal, that it helped us somehow get better freshmen. Maybe that could be true at some other levels. I don't feel here at Binghamton that's been the case for us.
No doubt, man. I feel you on that, man. And man, I see you have a lot of veterans on your roster too. So talk about that, having vets who played ball before, but also trying to get them to learn your language, because we both know basketball is a language of itself. So what's blue here may be red here. So getting on the same language, getting guys on the same page about that. So when y'all call certain coverages or certain actions, it's not a confusion of habits for my old place.
Yeah, you know what? There's this kind of two parts to that because yes, we have some guys that are, probably a little older, juniors, seniors, but I think a lot of times what happens is we are always getting guys and we want them to play a certain role here. And a lot of times that role that we want them to play here, they haven't played wherever they've been, And so, and it's not even just basketball. It's a lot of it is could be just like leadership, right? Like you might get guys that had played, but they weren't leaders, and that's the big part of it. And it's a process that we go through every year. And, I think sometimes the guys that stick around for 2 years at least, really kind of get it in their second year. So yeah, we have some older guys, but we have guys that haven't played a ton. We have guys that haven't really been leaders at their previous institutions. And so it's always a work in progress and something that we always work towards. And it's a lot of communication, a lot of talk and a lot of communication. And absolutely, like in terms of like the way we play and how we do things, is different, right? Because every coach has, a specific way they go about, playing terminology. And so, a lot of that is, I was listening to John Shire, I think from Duke. That's his, he's is John Shire, right? No
Josh,
Shire.
yep.
Yeah, I was listening to him the other day at Duke. He was saying that a lot of the kids that they get in because they're getting top players right in the country, a lot of them have dominated the basketball. And so when you come to Duke, now you have to play with other really good players. And so you're not going to dominate the basketball and then it's adjustment period. And so it's the 98% of, things that, you have to do on the court that is going to really kind of stand out and is what NBA teams are looking for. I remember, had a kid here and he was, he's talking about his usage rate, and I'm just like, it's these terminologies that they hear from the NBA, right? It's like, man, we're playing college basketball, man, please. But I'm saying that to say, you have to get guys to buy in to, because everybody wants the basketball in your hand, And I think the hardest thing is trying to get these guys to understand that you can be really effective if you know how to play without the basketball. And we have a kid on, that was here with us, Tamu Shinnery. And he's playing over in Europe right now. He's playing in Denmark with the Bakken Bears, and he's doing really well. And I remember always telling him that, I thought he could be a really good pro because he was really good at moving without the basketball, And that wasn't something that we taught him. I think we really focused on it and harped on it. Like he had that instinct. He was taught that before he got here to Binghamton. But I think in the 2 years that we had him, we really used him as a cutter, and his senior year, he came back, right? He was a guy who had an opportunity to go get some NIL money, but he came back because, you know, he had never been a number one option in his college career. And so he came back here because he wanted to be a number one option. And he did that. He really worked on his game, became a really good shooter, and he's going to be a really good pro. And but again, I think it's because, you know, he does a lot of things. He can really affect the game without having the basketball in his hand. He's a really good defender. You know, he's a really good offensive rebounder. He's a really good cutter. And then he turned himself into like a really good shooter. So like he can spot up and make shots. So you know, you have to, you know, I don't like to have the situation where you have one or two guys, you know, just kind of dominating everything. You know, we always like to have balance. You know, last year at one point in the season, we had like five guys averaging double figures. I think we finished the season with four guys averaging double figures. And so, again, that's getting guys to understand that there's one basketball, but you can affect the game without having the ball in your hand, because most of the time you play the game without the basketball. So, yeah, it's definitely, you know, you gotta adjust, and guys have to adjust to us when they get here.
DeVille, so you say, I talked to a young man on another team yesterday about, I said, son, when you watch film, you have to watch film of yourself off the basketball and not guarding the basketball. When you watch your film, you look at yourself and you got 20 points dropped on you, you only score 10. You know, you look. So I want, my question is about film watching and teaching young men about how to watch film the right way, how to learn and grow from film study, and get them look at themselves when they're not on the ball defensively or with the ball in their hand offensively.
Yeah, you know, that's funny because you know, I watch a lot of video with our guys as well as our other coaches, and you know, our video coordinator the other day was asking me, because I'm having a video session with our point guard, and he was asking me, hey, do you want me to, you know, have some specific clips ready? And I was like, nah, you know what? Because I don't just want him to watch himself. Like we're not going to just watch him when we watch video, you know, we're going to watch him, but we're going to watch his teammates. We're going to watch the other team that he's playing against. Like, you know, I don't just isolate it to just, we're going to watch film. We're going to watch you, you know, because a lot of it is figuring out how to do things with your teammates, you know? And so, you know, players absolutely don't know how to watch film, you know? And we send, you know, we send our video out to these guys so they can watch practice and things like that. But, you know, in their group chats and stuff, they're talking about who got dunked on and, you know, who made this three, who shot this air ball. You know, they're never talking about, you know, weak side help or, you know, who's tagging a roller or, you know, ball pressure. You know, they're never talking about those kind of things. So, you know, when they are watching with coaches, we try to give them the lens which they should be looking at it from. And again, it's something that they have to learn. I think it's something that I had to learn. You know, I think I didn't start watching a lot of film until I went overseas and started playing, and it was nothing to do. And so I started watching a lot of video. And, you know, with all the distractions that these kids have now, you know, they don't have time to sit down and watch a 2-hour practice. They're going to fast forward to when their team is on offense, when they have the basketball, and that's the only thing they're going to look at, right? And so, yeah, we have to try to get them to look at it from a lens where it can be beneficial for everybody.
100%. I try to tell my listeners too, LaVille, like, you got to look at what's going on the other side of the court. You can't just look at where the ball is. The weak side, lots of stuff going on the weak side. We call those actions. I try to get my listeners basketball 101 to a degree so that they understand what they're looking at, not just saying running a play on a screen. It's more than that to what is going on.
And if you think about that, like, you take it a step further, not only the listeners, but like we watch video a lot, right? And, you know, you can watch and everybody, like all, the one guy has the ball, the other four players that are on offense are just watching the basketball. And so they don't know what's going on, right? Somebody's, you know, you're trying to get the big guy the ball and he's being fronted and nobody's flashing to the high post. Well, if you kind of rewind the play, you can see that we know that we're trying to get this guy the ball, but nobody is watching him to see, well, he's being fronted. So I need to flash, right? So again, you have to train these guys how to play the game, because when, you know, I'm telling you, you can watch it. I always talk about, you know, offensively and defensively, you have to take pictures you know, you have to snap pictures so you know what's going on. And, you know, when I'm watching film with some of our big guys, and I'm, you know, talking to them about, all right, well, you know, you have a play that's going on, and now, you know, the point guard is supposed to get the ball back. Well, he's being overplayed, but the big guy don't see that he's being overplayed because he's just watching the basketball. So I'm trying to explain to him, like, okay, he has the ball. We know that this guy needs to get the ball back. So your eyes need to get off the basketball, and you need to focus on if this guy can get the ball back. Because if he can't get it back, that's your signal to flash. And then you can flash, and then you can play handoff, or you can go back door, or whatever it is. But again, you never get a chance to get to the other actions because everybody's just watching the basketball, you know? So not only the fans are watching the basketball, you know, the players are also watching the basketball.
Indeed, man. We got that right, brother. And I want to touch on a few more for you here, man. I like your size, man. So defensively, you can really do a switching 1-4, 1-5. So about that, we put this roster together, make sure you have switchable size in every position where you can just play, do what you got to do and not worry about matchups getting isolated and worry about somebody just trying to single out one of your guys with the size you have.
Yeah, you know what? I think we kind of try to recruit that way. We like to recruit guys that have good size, wings, so you can be versatile in that sense when you do want to switch. And this year, you know, we got, you know, 3 or 4 guys that are 6'8", 6'9", you know, so hasn't happened in the past. But again, you know, back to your point about the transfer portal, I think because a lot of guys are transferring, I think, you know, some of the guys that's coming down a level, you know, they're a little bit bigger. And so I think our league probably is going to be a little bit bigger this year, not just our team, but our league in general is going to be bigger because you have guys transferring down. But yeah, that's something that we, you know, when we talk about the type of players we like to recruit versatile players that have good size, that, you know, can be versatile on offense and defense, meaning you can switch if you need to, meaning you can handle the ball and shoot the ball if you need to. So yeah, that's kind of how we like to recruit. We like to recruit those versatile guys with size. Like even last year, we had, you know, we didn't have a 6'9 or a 6'10 guy, but we, you know, we started a lineup of like 6'5, 6'6, 6'6, 6'7, 6'7, you know. So that was, you know, for us, that was a good size lineup for our league.
And also with their size, rebounding the ball, offensive and defensive can really come in handy for you guys because we all know rebounding the ball gets you extra possessions one way or another, especially on offense. So it's about for the listeners that are listening, with this size, how it can fit you rebounding the ball and get more extra possessions and get out of transition as well if you can get the ball up the court, pushing it.
Yeah, you know, we've been a pretty good rebounding team, you know, because we emphasize rebounding on both sides of the ball. And so obviously you can't finish possessions and you can't get out in transition. You can't start your possession until you rebound the basketball. So that's one thing that we really, you know, we hop on, we focus on, we track those things, you know, offensive and defensive rebounding. You know, there's things that's attached to that if we don't do a really good job of rebounding the basketball. And we've done a pretty good job, you know, in the league. We're usually top 3 in the league in rebounding. And so, yeah, that's super important. And then again, I think the trend in basketball is playing fast, and everybody wants to play fast. And as I said, you can't start your possessions until you rebound the basketball. So we're, you know, I think, again, I really believe, you know, we had a kid last year, Gavin Walsh, who was number 5 in the country. You know, he was 5th in the country in rebounding. You know, he kind of broke all of our records here at our school. You know, we have a kid, Demetrius Lilly, who I think has the potential to lead the country in rebounding. And so if he does that, I think we should be a really good rebounding team. And again, it's something that we talk about, something that we focus on. So I think you know, the things that you talk about and you emphasize and you focus on, you kind of become good at.
And last one for you, man. I see you got some big boys on the schedule, man. Syracuse, Georgetown, Pittsburgh. You got a MTA you're playing. I see you playing Pat down there. Connecticut State. Talk about challenging your team really to get ready for this America East slate, hopefully winning the America East playoffs so you can go to the big dance finally in your tenure there, brother.
Yeah, you know, with all of the little guys like us, you know, we need to play those games, you know, to earn some revenue. And so we have those three games that we usually do every year. But I like that our athletic director gives us the opportunity. You know, if he asks us to play those three games, then he gives us the opportunity to play, you know, non D1s, which is good. So I appreciate that from our athletic director. And then, you know, we just try to put a schedule together where, you know, we feel, you know, we give ourselves a 50-50 chance with the opponents that we play. You know, I thought last year we you know, and Coach Johnson, you know, puts our schedule together, and, you know, he does a really good job of, you know, picking opponents. And, you know, this is our second year we're being an MTE, which we haven't done in the past. But, you know, I like it because it gives you an opportunity to play some extra non-conference games. But yeah, he does a good job in communicating and getting some good opponents on our schedule. And so, you know, last year we were a little bit more on the road. This year we have a few more home games, and so I know our fans are going to appreciate that. But yeah, we try to figure out, you know, which teams are going to play a certain way, which can kind of help us when we get to our league. We kind of know the coaches in our league and how they play, and so, you know, some of the teams on our schedule kind of emulates, you know, some of those teams we'll play against in the league. And so it's good for us to have that, you know, competition, you know, before the conference starts. And I think we have a really good schedule, and I'm excited about it.
Well, no doubt, but I'm hoping the fifth year is your best year, man. We're talking again in March after you win the American East playoffs, brother. And of course, I'll see you late points. Always we see each other during the July live period as well, brother.
Okay. Sounds good, man. Appreciate it. Good luck to y'all this year, too.
Appreciate you, brother. See you soon, my brother.
All right.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z. Sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews. You name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.